It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I heard this joke the other night, and I keep getting torn about if it's like it makes me laugh, but I keep trying to figure out if it's like it's one of those jokes that I'm like, I don't know if it's inappropriate or not, sort of. It's not dirty, okay. But so my family was this is the joke, people. This didn't actually happen to my family. I'm telling a joke.
Thanks for clarifying.
I don't want the Uncle Ben thing happening.
No, we don't want that.
So my family was arguing about whether or not to have Grandma cremated or buried. And the family, we could not come to a resolution on it, so we decided to just let her live. See, I really like it. By the way, I got to credit. That's Gary Delaney's joke, British comedian. Cool. I did not invent it.
That sounds like a British joke, actually.
No.
Weirdly.
Well, yeah. And if I told it right, it's a nan, not grandma. So I already had to. I'm translating.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like I can't entirely. Like I asked, I was because like my father-in-law likes a lot of like dumb jokes and like pun jokes and things. And I was like, do you think he'd like this one? And I told it to her, and she's like, I think Dad would like this. I think Mom would not like this. But I was pretty fond. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world where other podcasts come to die. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 387.
Yes. And some of you are confused, as he's one of them, apparently. Because you're like, hey, Tony, 2 weeks ago, you had the first part of a two-parter, and then 1 week ago, you had an evil mystery episode.
Mm-hmm.
What do heck? Well, let us explain do heck to you. So, that first one from 2 weeks ago, episode 385, we tried the thing that Mark McKibben told us about at the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, of the normalize function on Audacity.
Yeah.
But it's not, I thought it was like a setting, but no, it's a process. Right. So after you're recording, you do the normalize, and then it runs through a thing that takes a few minutes. So we did it, and according to exactly one person, namely William, it did improve the sound.
Yeah, it seemed
nobody good. Else answered when I asked, but that's what he said, and I don't believe him, but he does the podcast with me, so I have to pretend like it, so... and so then we did the second episode and then he left.
Very convincing, by the way.
Thank you. And then he left. And so I'm processing the second episode after he's gone and I get the normalization thing running. It's going to take a few minutes. So I'm doing other crap on the thing. I'm setting up the entry cause I save it. And then I just have to post it real quick next week. And I finish that and I go back and Audacity's done doing this thing. But you see, I am used to this. And when Audacity's done doing its thing, what that means is it's exported it to an MP3 file, and I'm done. And I can exit Audacity, and it says, do you want to save? And I say no, because it's already exported to an MP3 file.
Right.
But you see, that's not what was happening. When I came back and Audacity was done, it was done normalizing the file. I had not exported it yet, but on Reflex, I closed it and said, no, you don't need to save it. So it's just gone. Like, not even... like corrupt file, could we retrieve it? No. I literally recorded a podcast, turned off the software, and said, nah, don't save it. So it's gone. But I think it's okay. That episode was very us talking. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's every episode, but like it was particularly personal, and so I don't think it would have been as interesting to other people. And I also think it's one of those that, in retrospect, you might have regretted how much you said.
Hard to say.
Well, now, yeah, because it's gone.
Maybe if I heard it again, so, I could tell you that.
I'm okay with that. And honestly, it's fun when every once in a while you and I get to have a conversation that then the rest of the world doesn't hear about. Doesn't happen much, but, you know.
It was a good conversation.
It was good. I liked it.
I felt good about it leaving.
But I'm more than most episodes, I'm like, I'm okay with that one just having been us.
Sure, sure.
We'll try not to do it again. If you're hearing this, I at least got this one right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should explain the show. For those of you just joining us, that earlier stuff probably didn't mean a lot to you. Anyway, here's how the show works normally. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, sexy people, people of a variety of hair colors and styles, and some bald people, I think, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its economical servants, draw the note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is actually most of it. So here we are. So it's been 2 weeks, mm-hmm. or has it been 3 weeks? 2 weeks.
Two, yeah.
How was your 2 weeks?
Well, you actually went places and did stuff, so you should talk about...
No, I went places. I didn't really do stuff.
All the stuff that you did, because it'll probably take up all the time.
You got a phone. We should talk about that.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
I think it's funny.
Why is it funny?
Because you're being dragged into the 21st century. And I was in that position recently, so I understand. I think it's going to take longer for you, but...
Longer?
Yeah.
What's going to take longer? What's supposed
the
to
happen? The acclimation, the infestation, the infection.
I don't know. The affection.
Infection.
Oh.
When the nanites get under your skin.
Here's the thing. Like today, for example, it was just shut off and not doing anything. I checked it once in a while because...
I was texting you.
You were, but also one of the reasons that my wife decided I needed one of these is because my family... They all text each other, and when they include me in texts, it hits my email, but I don't know who's talking.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, this is the problem that I have, because Trish's family has a running group family text that's just all the time.
Yeah.
And my family doesn't, because my parents do not know how to text and never intend to learn, and my sister has a cheap phone that, can only, it costs money to text, or so, she basically doesn't text.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother and I, because we both, again, live in this century, we talk regularly. We're like, hey, did you see this or whatever? And I'm like, we just talk back and forth, every once in a while. Now, when you say off, you didn't actually power the whole thing
it's turned off.
Uh-huh. All right. That does defeat the purpose of somebody trying to get a hold of you.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
All right.
So, but I will check it because, again, as I said, one of the reasons my wife did this was because my family is texting all the time. And as it turns out, my uncle, I don't know if I've said, but my dad's an only child, but my mom had a brother, one. Mm-hmm. And he got married and had one kid, so I have one first cousin. But anyway, he lives in Florida, but he's visiting this weekend, so there's a lot of texting activity around that. I'm going to the state fair this weekend on top of visiting my uncle back in, close to Des Moines anyway, because, I've got two siblings that live in Des Moines and my dad lives on the farm still in Marion County, south of
me. Yeah.
So I'm going to go back there on Saturday to visit with my uncle, but then I'm going to the fair on Sunday, which is also my mom's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we purchased a memorial for her that's at the fair. There's a little plaque on one of the lamps at the fair. We purchased that this year, and this is the first year that it's there. So, Mom, I used to go to the fair with Mom for those who don't know, Mom passed in 2006, but that was one of the things we used to do every year is go to the fair. It was very frequently around her birthday because her birthday is the 12th. So anyway, Sunday happens to be her birthday, and we're going to go see the little memorial that we got her and just do regular fair stuff. But I think my uncle also is going to go on that day too. So that's going to be his first time seeing the memorial. This is his sister, you know. So there's just a flurry of information going back and forth. And on top of all that, 2 weeks later, my brother, who lives in Alaska, is going to be back because he's bringing his daughter, my niece, to go to school at Simpson College in Indianola. And my sister lives in Indianola. And so anyway, there's just all kinds of communication going on about all this
fair,
stuff.
You could snap a photo of the memorial with your phone and send it to your brother in Alaska.
I mean, I could do that, but I'm not going to take my phone. Because I probably will carry my phone places once I have, like, a case for it. Like, you've got a nice...
Oh, yeah, no, you definitely should get a case. Yeah.
Once I get a case or something for it, then I'll probably actually carry it around. I don't know if I'll have it on most of the time while I'm carrying it around, because I'll mostly be carrying it so I can turn it on and use it, not so that I'm available for people to be communicating with me, but... But yeah, today I have checked it several times because my family is communicating with each other a lot, and also because I sent a handful of people my number, you and a few other people, maybe a couple dozen people, and I'm hoping that those people are contacting me with their number so I can put it in the phone and have it, their number or whatever. And that's been happening. I've been hearing from some people sending me their number, which... They need to send me their name at the same time or else I'm not going to...
Yeah, no, you got to. You always got to do this. And, in fact, the correct response is, new phone, who dis? That's what you're supposed to say anyway, they don't tell you.
But I mostly just keep it off. And once all of the excitement dies down and my family's not texting as much and I'm not getting new texts from people as much, it'll probably just sit there off most of the time. I'll take I'll take it places... when I feel like I might need to call somebody.
Just set it to, like, vibrate, and then you don't have to pick it up if a thing happens. But then you can look and be like, oh, I have 5 texts. I wonder what they are.
Well, I can just check it every week or every other day. Or, I mean, maybe I could check it every night, I guess, just in case someone tried to contact me. But, I mean, you know, in the email that I sent to, and you got the same email that everybody else got, I said that I probably wouldn't have it on very much or check it.
I know. But this is the thing, and here's the difference with email. Sometimes I send a picture. Sometimes I send a link that I'm literally too lazy to put into an email to like 3 or 4 people, and then we talk about it in real time.
Yeah.
And you would have the opportunity, not the obligation, to participate if it was on. But again, don't, like, I always set it on vibrate. Like, it doesn't ring or anything. So if I'm like, this is not phone time for me, I don't, like in the movie, they're always like, turn off your phone. I don't turn off my phone. I just put it in my pocket and it goes, bzz, I ignore that. So, you know, and also the world is your oyster now in terms of things like apps. So many apps.
Why do I care about apps?
Get you, Logic Caterpillar, the inductive logic game that I was obsessed with for a little while.
Yeah,
things like
sure.
that. There, games is a lot of them, but there's other cool things out there. The very first one you need to get is something called Zedge, Z-E-D-G-E, and that gives you all sorts of background wallpapers and lock screen wallpapers and ringtones and message notifications so that you can personalize it to be cool. That's how mine is, like, so cool. And it has, like, this was just a Studio Ghibli stuff, and then my actual screen is a Totoro screen in the background, and I do keep it on vibrate, but technically, if I didn't have it on vibrate, whenever I get a text, Jarvis from the MCU, Paul Bettany, says, there's a message for you. And if the phone rings, it plays Big Papa by Notorious B.I.G. from the 90s. And all of this is thanks to the joy of Zedge. And it's free.
I don't care about any of that stuff.
But you should, is what I'm saying.
Why should I?
Because it's awesome.
Is it? I mean, it's awesome
so
to
awesome.
You. I don't.
No,
it doesn't mean anything to me.
Objectively awesome.
Okay, well.
Guys,
anyway.
No fighting on the Black Lives Matter sign.
That's
what that is, by the way. I just got it today.
But getting a phone was not the most important thing that happened to me in the last 2 weeks.
What's the most important thing that happened to you in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I don't know if I want to talk about it because it's a downer. But
so, as far as we're all concerned, getting a phone.
since I talked to you last, one of our Applied Systems coworkers has passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really shocked by that.
Yeah, because he was not old. He was
51.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he didn't live far from me, so I ran into him a lot, actually.
I saw that purely
Mark
by accident.
Zolo. Mark Zolo.
Because I don't do Facebook, but I check it for messages, and it just happened to be the top story. And I was also very confused at first because he used his full name, and it was a picture of him with his dad.
Oh.
And so I was like, did his dad die?
I mean, he's a junior or something, or not the same middle name or something.
Well, no, that was the thing. It had two names, so I'm like, was his dad in there or something like that? And I was like, and it made more sense because his dad is a real old guy according to that picture. So I thought maybe he died, but then I was like, no.
And I don't know what happened to him either, because all it said was a brief illness, that he had suffered a brief illness. So yeah, I was like really shocked and sad. And this was the Tuesday before the anniversary of my mom's passing, because my mom's birthday is on the 12th, but she passed on the 5th. So I was already kind of thinking about that, like I do every year. And so that was kind of a depressing week all the way around.
Also, not that it's nearly on the same scale, but Charlotte Ray died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 92. Also, today they officially announced, or they officially determined Margot Kidder's death was a suicide.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying the investigation into Margot Kidder's death resolved, and they publicly announced they determined cause of death was suicide.
Who are we talking about?
Margot Kidder.
I didn't know she was dead.
Yeah, she died in May or something.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And she killed herself?
Yes.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
We all know that she had mental illness issues. She was pretty open about that after her things, and she was a pretty big advocate for it. She also freaking lived by herself in Montana.
Huh.
Like, here's, if you have mental health issues, don't live in Montana. Montana has incredibly high suicide rate.
I can't believe I didn't hear about this.
I'm a little surprised myself.
Yeah.
I thought we even talked about it here. I was really shocked at how much it hit me. And I think it was honestly because I didn't, for the longest time, as with most people, Margot Kidder was Lois Lane in Superman.
Yeah.
And I didn't really give a shit about Lois Lane and Superman. But over the years, I've seen much more of her career, and I found her a really fascinating actress and an interesting person and all the stuff she had to go through. And so it snuck up on me, and I realized at some point I had become a Margot Kidder fan.
Sorry,
I'm messing you up even worse now.
That's all right.
It was a while ago, but...
It's all right.
This is... a lot of this crap lately... Just today, I'm at the gym, and there's a sign that says, help so-and-so get their voice back, and it was like a fundraising thing,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, what is this? So I asked, when I was at work, I asked, this is he was an instructor there that I only kind of knew, but like when Trish did classes, she really liked him. He's like my age.
Mm-hmm.
He had a stroke, and this was a while ago.
Wow.
And... he's better physically almost entirely, but he can't talk. And there is some stuff, like therapies that could help.
Sure.
His insurance won't pay for him. So.
Oh, man.
Well,
my brother, something else that happened in the intervening time, my brother told me that... Now, he married a woman with three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And their dad, their biological dad, had a stroke. He's like, you know, my age or, you know, my brother's age. And I was like, and I imagine what happened to Mark was probably something like that, a heart attack or a stroke or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, geez.
My first boss out of high school or out of college, 45. It was a family business. He was my primary boss, but they sort of, and I ran into one of the other family members a few years ago at a restaurant. And so we were sort of catching up and the dad had died and mom was in a nursing home now. Mm-hmm. Like that. Turns out he died at 45 of an aneurysm in the office.
Jeez.
And this is the thing that has been hitting me lately. And it's I'm happy to say I feel like I'm learning from it. Life is happening now.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee it's going to happen after now.
Right.
So
right.
You have to be living it. I've spent so much of my time preparing for stuff, putting off stuff, you know. I'm going to get around to whatever. You can't do that because you are guaranteed no time.
Well, this is what's weird about getting the phone. And also, I've been thinking about getting back on Facebook again. Because there's two edges to this sword, right? It's like, well, okay, so I'm probably going to talk to people I care about more often because I have this phone.
And if you keep it on.
Well, right. Well, if I check it often enough. And that was the whole thing of me wondering about getting back onto Facebook, because it was like, the first thing that made me think of doing it was, well, this is where they're announcing where his Mark's memorial is going to be and all this other stuff. And also I saw people posting things and, you know, I felt like I wanted to maybe say something representing Applied or whatever, because I know a lot of people from Applied. I mean, this was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Applied closed. And, you know, a lot of people, if you ask them who they worked with 12 years ago, they won't even be able to name a lot of the people. But this is a guy that was—he was such a good guy, and he made such an impression.
He was like stupidly nice.
Oh yeah.
He's like one of the only people in any job I've had that, like, I can't think of a time where he was a dick.
Nope.
Like everyone else, including you, I can think of a time when they were a dick.
Nope.
But I'm like, no, he was just always—he was just a really cool guy.
Yep.
And he was really good at his job.
That's what everybody says about him. And he, you know, he started at Applied. He didn't know anything about computers. But within a couple of years, he was what we called there an escalation tech, which means he was helping other people solve their problems. He was just a really great guy. And so I also thought, you know, since he's 51, I'm 49, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's another good reason to get back on Facebook so I can talk to people, because I don't know. Like you said, nobody knows how long they have. But then things like phones and Facebook and things like that, they become life suckers, not so much life enhancers.
Absolutely.
So you can't just do it. You've got to do it with a certain sense of discipline about it, or it won't give you all the good stuff you were looking for. It'll just be this time waster and this albatross.
It's interesting you talk about getting back on Facebook, because I am seriously considering quitting both Facebook and Twitter. Like, deleting accounts.
See, exactly.
Serious.
Exactly, because this,
well, and I want your input on this.
This would be the worst time for me to get back on in some ways. Really.
Well, and I want your input on it, because there's exactly one reason why I haven't already done it. And it's this podcast.
Mm.
I literally only use Facebook and only use Twitter to once a week post a new episode of.
Yeah.
And that would be fine, except the reason I want to quit them, because if it was just like I don't like them, then that'd be fine. But the reason I want to quit them is I actively think both their companies are horrible, especially Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm quitting because I don't want them to have business.
Mm, I see, yeah.
Or at least I'm thinking about quitting. And that's the problem, because if it was, well, and it was for quite a while, that I'm like, I just don't like them, that's fine. I just use them for the once a week thing. But now I'm trying to pick, is it worth them letting them still have an account of mine for this show?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
well, I suppose if you rejoin Facebook, well, no, but you have a different set of friends.
Well, I used Facebook. I never did use Twitter for this purpose, but I did use Facebook for like Aether Theater and Pilot House and things that projects I was working on, I used Facebook as a promotional thing. And I still do, because my wife is still on Facebook and she administers those things now. So those things are still out there and things are still posted to them. I mean, I don't know if
and I
do
suppose
them or anything.
The real answer is, if I'm a writer, I'm going to have to use them.
Well, that's
anyway,
another thing.
So I guess I'm stuck.
And that's actually.
But I'm just so angry at them. I think they are such bastard people.
Well, you know,
to quote Waiting for Guffman.
I get a lot of news from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and they're all about privacy and things. And, you know, sometimes they present these ways that you can protect your online activity and your online life from peering eyes or whatever. But so far, almost all of them involve things where you wouldn't be able to have a Gmail account. You'd have to have your email would have to be something.
Well, and
you couldn't have a YouTube account or use YouTube that way. And so,
and I'm not even really worried about that stuff.
I know.
It's that I think the companies are doing damage to the world.
Sure.
And Twitter especially are just fucking assholes, because they're anybody who's sensationalist enough gets to stay on there, even if they're inciting hate speech, things like that, because it's new. Well, hell, it's why the president will never get taken off, despite the fact that he very clearly breaks Twitter's own policy rules regularly. Mm. It's the same reason why Alex Jones only exists anymore on Twitter, and actually on Instagram, which is weird because it's owned by Facebook, even though Facebook kicked him off Facebook. So what the fuck is that about? And it's just full of shit. I mean, beyond that, I don't use it because, well, and also, Facebook's how the Russians got us. And I don't mean the Cambridge Analytica shit. I mean, people share things on Facebook that are baseless, stupid crap, and they do it constantly, and other people believe it. And Facebook is really good about convincing people that the views they have held, regardless of whether they're based on anything, must be the truth. And it's dumb as hell.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And
it has
so
been.
So both companies make me mad, and I want them to not be successful, but they are also at this point fundamental to business. And I could argue this podcast is not a business in any sense.
Right.
But if I'm gonna have a writing career, that's a business. So yeah, I guess I'm fucked.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Even if you did have concerns about privacy and things, you run into things that, well, I can't do that.
Yeah,
you know.
You have to be. I have a coworker who like doesn't own a TV, doesn't own. I think she owns a computer technically, but like has never used any streaming service or social media or anything. Like,
I mean, they've got you.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you are just gonna be. You know, if you're someone who wants to do any type of business or have any kind of, you know, like you say, be a writer or any kind of entrepreneurial aspect, you're stuck.
Yeah.
There's really nothing you can do about it. And it's too bad. But I mean, I've seen a lot of movies and stuff, but I forget what they all were.
I've seen a bunch, most of which were terrible and don't matter. There is one, though. That I want to talk about a little bit.
Okay.
I saw it actually after. So the TV's still not working.
Oh.
So I haven't finished Horizon or anything. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube and just watching like movies on Amazon stuff on my laptop, on this laptop.
Okay.
So I've watched a lot more of that kind of thing because I can't watch TV. And I watched. It suddenly showed up again. I don't remember in what capacity on Amazon, but something so that it was free for me. And I hadn't seen it since I was a little kid. Battle Beyond the Stars.
Hmm. I never saw that, but I heard of it.
You should see it. Mm. I think you would find it very interesting.
Mm.
For those of you not familiar, and I'm starting to learn that it's not quite as widely known as I think it was. As a kid, I just remember two things from it.
Okay.
It had a really cool theme, like musically.
Yeah.
And it had George Peppard as a character named Space Cowboy.
Yeah, George Peppard. I remember that part.
That's all I remembered.
Space Cowboy?
Space Cowboy. Well, or Cowboy, depending on how you talk. But he's in space, so
he's
a Space Cowboy.
I guess.
In different places, he's called Space Cowboy or just Cowboy. But yeah. But what it is it's from 1980. Roger Corman executive produced on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the bajillion attempts to basically do Star Wars, because Star Wars was so successful at the time.
Right.
people are like, oh, and it's bad or whatever. And it's definitely not Oscar-worthy or anything. But here's the thing. Objectively, if you compare... And at this point, New Hope and Enterprise had come... Or Empire had come out. Mm-hmm. But if you objectively compare Battle Beyond the Stars to A New Hope as a whole, A New Hope is better. If you look at individual aspects... There are some places in which I think Battle Beyond the Stars is better, including some of the acting, which admittedly is a low bar. It has dumb stuff. Like, its version of droids are people who their body has been painted, are humans that have just been painted, like, gray and shit like that. I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's a little more of a comedy feel, but that's something, too. No Star Wars movie in the history of Star Wars movies has ever had an intentional joke that was actually funny. And this had a bunch that didn't land, but it had jokes that were actually funny also. And it was a hell of a cast. Like, at the time and for what some of them did later, the lead is Richard Thomas, a.k.a. John Boy from the Waltons. Who went on to do quite a lot of these. He's had quite a career.
I remember that he was in that.
It had a very small and kind of bizarre role by Julia Duffy, who at that point was nobody, who folks might know her as Stephanie from Newhart. She also played the princess in the short-lived Wizards and Warriors. She also came in late season designing women when they replaced a couple of the characters. And it was her, which was just weird. It's got a couple of people you know by face, but not necessarily by name, including the guy who plays the old man in every sci-fi fantasy movie out of the 80s and 90s, who for years I thought was Frank Zappa.
Oh.
He looks like if Frank Zappa had gotten that old, but also I swear I saw him in something where he was credited as Frank Zappa, and so I thought it was Frank Zappa, that he had, like, he hadn't died, he'd moved on into acting. And if you see him, you'll immediately know who I mean. But also, on top of that, freaking... Robert Vaughn, like young Robert Vaughn, in a pretty cool role. As I mentioned already, George Peppard as a character named Space Cowboy. And the villain, the Darth Vader of this, John Saxon.
Oh.
With like a scar on his face that is never explained. And, you know, it's silly in places and stuff like that. And it is very... Our hero's main spaceship legit looks like a uterus. But it's not... And a lot of the beam effects, they make active use of animated sparkles in places. Right, so those effects are not as good. But a lot of the physical effects are not bad. And it's a Star Wars ripoff, but it's funny because it's actually a retrograde from that, because it's a much more direct ripoff of Samurai than Star Wars is. Like, it's legit like a ripoff of Seven Samurai, whereas Star Wars is only kind of a ripoff of Seven Samurai. And I would recommend it. And yeah, killer soundtrack. It's freaking James Horner, who I hadn't realized. James Horner, for those of you who don't know, wrote the music for everything you ever saw that wasn't written by Christensen or whoever, or Hans Zimmer. Wasn't written by Hans Zimmer. Yeah, pretty much everything that wasn't written by Hans Zimmer was written by James Horner. Titanic. I can't remember other ones, but if you look them up, there's a ton of them. And this was way back in the day when he was doing shit for Roger Corman and he wasn't anybody yet. But it's great, and especially the main theme is very cool.
Still good, huh?
Yeah, it's very, very neat. It's very... I'm not going to go so far as to say it's as good as John Williams. But it's damn close.
Pretty good, huh?
It's very good. Yeah, and it's... Oh, and Sybil Danning in it. Or I should say Sybil Danning's breasts are in it. I mean, she has a character, and it's a little bit of an interesting character, but she wears two different outfits in the movie that are just designed for them to just out the front, and that's clearly, like, the primary reason for her being cast. But she has kind of an interesting character. What I find really funny about it is, for a movie that was done in 80, and, you know, New Hope was 77, Empire was 78, this movie feels way more 70s and less 80s than the two Star Wars movies do. It's very 70s. We have something kind of like the Force, except it's not magic. It's legit just a life philosophy that these peaceful people hold that comes up constantly. We have a lot more dealing with having to fight to protect your peace and the actual horrors of war and shit. Like there's a lot more message in this movie, and it's very 70s message. Mm-hmm. Everything. We don't have species or races. We have forms. Mm. Everything is a form, and each form has its place. And if people are prejudiced against certain forms, that's not good. Stuff like that. But also, every goddamn character we pick up is ridiculously amoral. Like, it's, you know, it's Seven Samurai. So the kid goes off because his village is going to get wiped out. In this case, it's a planet, but it's going to get wiped out in, you know, seven yarns or whatever. And he finds different people to help him. Mm. And one of them is the most famous mercenary killer ever, who doesn't care what side he fights for ever. He just cares about the money, and they don't have any money, but he's done this so much that he's wanted, like, everywhere, so the prospect of going someplace where he doesn't have to watch his back constantly, that's the whole reason he goes.
Okay.
Space Cowboy, he's kind of a nice guy. There's another guy who straight up is enslaving one of the main characters to sell her off to be a slave because he doesn't care. He's like, I'd sell you off for protein if I thought it was worth more, but you look good, so whatever. But when he finds out the bad guy is John Saxon, he has a beef with John Saxon, so he's like, I'm coming to get him. Like, everybody's just stupidly amoral, and I find that amazing. Because by the end, some of them, like, Robert Vaughn's character has kind of an interesting arc. Some of them, it's just like, by the end, we're supposed to forget that that's why they joined. Mm. Sybil Danny's character, her species just likes fighting, and she's like, this sounds like a cool fight. I want to fight. Mm-hmm. So that was weird. But, yeah, no, I really kind of enjoyed it, and I would recommend it, and I would specifically recommend it to you. Mm. It's not amazing, but it's not bad. No lightsabers. Or their ripoffs. But Space Cowboy does have a belt that dispenses scotch, soda, and ice in three different things.
On his belt.
On his belt.
Okay.
He drinks heavily in the movie.
Did you see the series, Big Little Lies? Is that what it's called? It's got
Little Big Lies. Yeah, I know what you're talking
something
about.
Something like that.
On HBO, I did not.
Yeah, we watched that.
How did you feel? It looked to me like one of those where I wasn't going to like anybody. Nobody's going to really be sympathetic, and so I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't think you'd like it.
All right.
I don't know if I'd recommend it either, but, I mean, it's one of those things, just like I've been talking about, where there's some really great moments and really great, like, what's her name who's in it?
Everybody's in it. Nicole Kidman's in it. Reese Witherspoon
Nicole
is in
Kidman
it. Amy Adams, I think, is in it.
No, I don't think she is. Nicole Kidman
smart,
is...
smart, maybe. I don't remember.
She's in some other new HBO thing called Sharp Edges or something.
Oh, that's Amy Adams. Yeah. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman was fantastic in it. A lot of people are talking about Reese Witherspoon's performance like it was amazing, but it was pretty standard stuff. Pretty standard
Reese Witherspoon
soccer mom,
has
soccer mom
a
stuff.
Following. And don't get me wrong. I think she is a competent actress.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad. It just wasn't.
Frequently, I think she's in not challenging things, and she picks a lot of stuff I don't like. But she has people who just live and die by her. I don't really understand.
She did an all right job. It's just the character was pretty standard, like I say, soccer mom, straightforward, the whole way through. I kept thinking maybe there'd be a twist or something. Nope.
That's always, especially when it's an actor that I really do consider. Like, there's been Patrick Stewart, who I think is a phenomenal actor, who has phenomenal range, in stuff that I'm like, he did a really good job. A wet paper bag could have done that role fine, but he did good.
But Nicole Kidman's character, while frustrating on a number of levels in terms of how the character was drawn, the way she played the character was really good. So it was okay. I mean, it seems like the kind of show you've seen 1,000 times about quote-unquote ordinary people and having something happen that's not ordinary, except these ordinary people are mostly white and really rich, which immediately makes me not care.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, but I mean, my whole life, you know, I grew up in around blue-collar people and farmers and stuff like that. I've never been interested in shows that are either expressly about rich people or where the person has to be rich because they have a big house, they don't seem to have a job. You know those movies something happens to a person and they go drive around the country investigating such and such, and you're thinking, what about this person's work? And then when they're at their house, it's this huge house, and you have to wonder, is this person independently wealthy? I mean, plot-wise, you almost have to assume they are for any of it to make sense. So I'm never interested in any of those stories because I don't care about the stories of rich people, I guess. Is that bad? Am I a prejudiced person?
Or? I don't care about the stories of rich people except potentially when the wealth is part of the story.
Hmm.
I am really tired of the, well, we made them rich so that they can go around and do whatever they want and they don't have to worry about paying for it or going to work.
Yeah.
Which I feel like there's a lot of those. But this way, they can dress nice, they can do stuff whenever we feel like, and they can buy whatever we need for the plot. So they'll just be really rich.
Yeah.
When it's about, like, wealth and what does that mean, and, you know, that's a factor in it, then I'm potentially interested.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of storylines in that vein that I do not give a shit about either.
Well, like for this show.
But when the wealth is saying something specific as part of the plot and message.
For this show, I kind of wondered about that. Like, oh, are they going to critique something about the lives of these people or whatever? But not really. It's just...
Well, which is good because that's been done to death now. White rich people have been given the Watchmen treatment far too many times. That was starting back in the 70s where it's like, oh, pretty white people with a lot of money can also be sad.
Yeah.
Like, that's been done. There's not a lot of new story on that.
There's just a lot of things about it that weren't interesting at all. But again, Nicole Kidman did a fantastic job. So.
Does make interesting stories about the various strata of social class and things like that, and what the wealth means and what you traverse. Atlanta.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
I know I do. Because I'm actually thinking about a specific episode where one of the characters, an old like school friend or whatever, they go to a function, and she's really rich now. But she's really rich because she married this white guy.
Mm.
And this white guy very much thinks he gets it because he married a black woman.
Mm.
And so that's sort of the comedic angle because he's dabbing people and stuff like that. But there is some discussion about like why she married him and what she traded and why and things like that. And some people disapprove and other people are like, fuck you. It's like, and then very, it was an interesting plot line specifically.
We're also playing Detroit Becoming Human or whatever.
Oh, and?
Why do you respond like that?
Because I've been dying to have somebody play this game.
Oh.
Because this game's either going to be the most awesome thing ever or it's going to be kind of boring as shit.
Well, I mean, I think it's really awesome, but I don't know if someone else would think it's boring. I think it's quite good. I think it's put together pretty well. I mean,
is it what it said on the label? I mean, are they really pulling off a very customizable feel where your decisions matter and things like that?
Feels like it, sure. Now, there's some plot weirdness that kind of relates to, there are certain things the androids can do. It's kind of like a superhero story where you establish that a superhero can fly, say, but then somehow there's a plot where they're walking everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think in a review I read, they were like, sort of like, well, and it's also because, of course, clearly the androids are largely metaphor.
Yeah.
And that sometimes it just didn't hook together right.
Yeah.
Like certain aspects, like concepts would be presented as new and exciting and strange, and that wouldn't make sense if you had androids.
Right,
and other
things
seemed normal that didn't make sense because they're androids.
There are things like that. In fact, we just got through one sequence where the androids were doing a whole bunch of things that, given some of the abilities they have, you question, why did they have to go through all that when they could have just done this? You know, that kind of thing? And that,
like everything Thanos did in Infinity War.
Right.
Every time.
That kind of thing. But
oh, to be fair, I think they were just sticking to the
outside of that. The visuals are ridiculously good. I can't believe how good they are. The acting's good. The casting's good. The arcs for characters are good, even if the plot's a little shaky.
For those of you, I think we've talked about this before, but for those of you who aren't having trouble following here, Detroit Becoming Human is a video game they put out that it's about the near future in Detroit, and you've got androids, and there's three different characters with three different storylines that are intersecting, but it largely has to do with the concept of androids becoming self-aware and wanting their independence and gaining sentience and stuff like that, and the various pressures and complications involved in that. And the big sell of the game is supposed to be that you make all these decisions, and the decisions genuinely change the game to the degree that you can get one of these three characters, for instance, killed pretty early on in the game, and the game's just going to keep going from the perspectives of the other ones, and that person having died will have ramifications.
Right, that's right.
But as usual, it was a very... It was the kind of sell that we've seen from video games before that are full of shit.
No, this one, I think, delivers that.
That is good to know.
Very well.
That is good to know.
And
it hasn't made nearly as big a splash since it came out, and that's part of what made me nervous. People were very excited it was coming, and then I haven't heard a lot about it since it came.
Well,
been hearing way more about No Man's Sky next.
The thing is, I think it's, for me, its strength is in something that I'm not sure other people are that interested in, which is futurism. Because for people who don't know, futurism is a thing. There are futurists who
living
thinking about what's going to happen in the future. There's a lot of very good, you know, a lot of times when someone writes a story in the future, they basically come up with futuristic stuff that's going to fit the plot or the characters or whatever, and that's fine. If you're a person who follows futurism, like I do, you kind of get a sense of what something sophisticated in that way is and what's not really sophisticated
in that way.
For example, Star Wars is not sophisticated in a futuristic way. Star Trek is not as sophisticated, I think, as a lot of people think, but it's more sophisticated than Star Wars.
Yeah, it has some basis. Well, and this is... I like futurism as a narrative concept. I have trouble with it because the occupation of futurist is very similar to the occupation of alternative healer. There are people out there who have studied really hard and can do some real things and legitimately know what they're doing, and there are people who just have guessed some shit and wave their hands around and still get paid for it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the best futurists...
I have read legit articles in legitimate publications from futurists that I'm like, you are so full of shit, I don't even know where you keep it.
Yeah, there are some futurists... If you find a good futurist, they're really smart and they're very accurate. This is the same with transhumanists too, and there's a lot of overlap between the two, but you can always find someone who's really bad at it, and the only reason they make money or they have any notoriety is because, I don't know, they speak authoritatively or they say things that are outrageous.
At first I totally thought it was like a very serious field and all this, and then I read an article one time about a guy, known futurist, who talked about how humanity was beginning to evolve into a slightly new form, which is that we were all going to be fairly hairless, and women were going to have very large breasts and very large eyes, and men were going to have broad chests and muscles. Basically, we were all going to look like comic books and anime, because that was what society was determining was beautiful, and so that was what... And I'm like, first of all, fuck you in the face. Second of all, no, in two vastly different ways. No, first of all, that's what everybody's discerning is beautiful.
Yeah, right.
That's what the media might be leaning towards, or a universal version of that. Maybe, yes. That was the big one. I was like, this feels... But the second thing, even if he was absolutely true about that aspect, what people find beautiful and what people have sex with is not a one-to-one correlation. There are lots of people who are like, I do not find the features of that person beautiful, but if they will have sex with me, I will totally do that.
Well, but it also assumes that all the people that don't look like that standard aren't having sex.
This is what I mean. This is what I mean.
They definitely are.
I'm like, yes. And like, even children. If everybody's like, oh, I tend to choose for that. It's like, yeah, but availability is a much higher priority for a lot of you out there. Well, and then we get into whether or not you have kids from it. And I mean, just, oh, my God, no.
You're right.
And actually, the main counter argument to that futurist argument is Idiocracy.
Well, right, but see, the problem is futurism can sometimes be a lot like
fortune telling,
evolutionary psychology,
yeah,
which is not even scientific most of the time.
Oh no,
it's just a bunch of guys.
Oh no,
sitting
evolutionary
around,
psych
is, you know, making
is
stuff
largely
up. You can't test
racism
it.
And sexism, given the intelligent design treatment.
But also not you can't test it. It's not based on data.
As I said, given the intelligent design treatment,
it's not science, and it's not evolution either, because evolution. I was explaining this to someone recently. I asked this person. I said, "So, what do you know about evolution? You probably know competition. You probably know survival of the fittest." And I went through all the ways that a lot of the stuff that people think of evolution doesn't make sense. If the entire human race was wiped out and one guy, let's say one man, survived, you know, that survival of the fittest. They have the, let's say that man has a mutation that allowed him to survive. So the fittest survived. Now what? Nothing. He can't reproduce.
Yes.
Now, another, let's think of it again. So now he survived and one woman survived. Now what? Still nothing.
Nope.
You've got to have like 1,000 or 10,000 members for the race to continue. All right, so then let's say 10,000 people survived. Then what? Still nothing, because they have to eat. What is there to eat?
Yep.
So when you start thinking of that, pretty soon you realize that what survival of the fittest really means is you have to have an entire robust ecosystem survive, not just one person, not just one population, not just one species. So the basic concept of evolution is symbiosis, not competition.
Yes.
And not survival of the fittest.
Also,
but a lot of people don't even think about it.
Natural selection.
Way.
And natural selection is the backbone
right,
of it.
Natural selection.
And people love
right.
to ignore that shit. And also, what bugs me about it is people understand evolution, and not only that, but if you understand it, the debate over it goes away immediately, because evolution is real, because we've literally witnessed it many times. I have personally witnessed it. I have seen people give reports on projects they did that lasted 3 weeks that still definitively demonstrated it, because it is not about there's also this idea that there's a linear evolutionary path, and that's why we're at the top. No, we are not the most evolved creatures on the planet. First of all, that's not a thing.
No.
But second of all, there are other species that have evolved way more secure niches than we have.
Right.
Most of them insects. Insects really have nailed this evolution thing.
Yeah.
And it's all about, it's not about what makes you better, stronger, faster, whatever. No, it's specifically about those traits that will cause you to have surviving offspring in numbers significant enough that they overshadow individuals without that trait.
Right, right. Well,
and you need to be in a situation where for some reason those individuals can't survive without this trait.
Sure. Now, but sometimes, though, people misunderstand natural selection also. For example, you have this weird tendency on the part of biological evolutionary scientists who they want to take every single trait that a form or a species has and say, well, that must have a survival benefit.
No.
Not true.
Evolutionary psych does that constantly.
Yeah, that's right. Evolutionary psych does it all the time. But even some biological people,
I don't know how
do.
To break it to you people. Men's nipples do not have an evolutionary thing. They evolved back when we didn't have the genetic dimorphism that we have now between men and women, and they didn't fall off because there was no evolutionary reason for them to just fucking fall off.
Well, that's right. Well, I mean, there's one scientist out there who's even believes he's found that the dimorphism in birds, where males have colorful plumage
and
females don't, and sometimes the males, I mean, the males, you know, ostensibly use the plumage to attract a mate.
Yeah.
But that this wasn't selected; it just happened accidentally. The plumage of the male doesn't give him a mating advantage or anything. Mm. It's just a thing that happened, and nothing in evolution has caused it to go away. See, that's a big part.
Yeah.
It's sometimes
the trait's not helpful. It just was there from before, and there hasn't been any reason for it to fall off.
It doesn't hurt anything. Mm. So why shouldn't it stick around?
It's vestigial.
So yeah, there's a lot of lack of understanding about how evolution works, but sometimes I think it's almost deliberate, not in a conspiratorial way, but like I think unconsciously. See, one of the things that is helped by this misunderstanding of evolution is it helps people believe a really social evolution in social Darwinism.
Yeah, which is absolute bullshit.
No, which it is.
So much bullshit.
But as long as they can believe in these wrong ideas about evolution, I think unconsciously they can justify and feel like they're justifying in a scientific way that other Darwinian social evolution stuff.
And the one I get constantly, creationists who say, I don't believe in evolution. I do believe in adaptation, but that's a different thing. Or the classic one, when I was in high school, there was a kid who's like, I believe in microevolution, not macroevolution.
Yeah, yes. And I'm like,
God damn it. It's the commutative property. Macroevolution is just a bajillion microevolutions.
That's right.
Adaptation is literally evolution.
Yep.
Same thing.
It's all about given enough time.
Yeah.
Well, and so that's why a lot of...
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's on a scale that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
People are like,
scale.
Human... And this becomes one of those things, like the genetic memory shit from Assassin's Creed. A staple of science fiction now is the humans evolving into their next phase or whatever. And it comes up in two circumstances. One, when some lunatic says it, and he's a lunatic. And two, when they're just full of bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is the next phase because this dude has telepathy now. Because that's the next phase. That's not how that works. At best, you could be like, he got a mutation. Now he has telepathy. It may not end up being an evolutionary trait unless somehow the telepathy lets him have more babies than the others.
And those babies have more babies.
And something happens to the babies of the ones that don't.
Yeah, right.
And but you can give her like X-Men. You have mutants.
Yeah.
And Magneto's like, it's the next evolution and whatever. I'm like, not unless you guys are mostly fucking. Like, this is so dumb. We are the next phase of evolution. That's not a thing.
But
phase of evolution is not a thing.
I think there's a lot of cultural pressure to believe these things.
And here's the bit, people. I know very little about evolution, and I still know this stuff. Seriously. On the grand... I am in no way... I have read... I suppose technically I've read at least part of one book because I did take a class on it that I never showed up for. I've told that story. That was the class where the professor had to start talking about the possibilities of alien involvement in human evolution because she knew I thought that was awesome to talk about. And so she would talk about it and tell the other students to let me know that she was talking about it so I would come back to class. Because I would always, like, when she was asking stuff, I'd be like, aliens? Aliens? So she would actually talk about it. This is how little, like, that's it. It's all I know about evolution. And I know how much bullshit this is. And social Darwinism should stop being a phrase. It's not... Forget false equivalence. The metaphor just doesn't work in any... What are your social babies?
Okay, but...
What are your social babies?
But the thing is, people want... In our culture, people want to believe that...
They want to believe in patterns, for starters.
Well, but also they want to believe if they're doing all right, it's because they earned it, they worked harder than other people, And they want to believe the people who aren't all right, maybe that's a little bit their fault.
Yep.
Because both of those things together means they don't have to worry about social injustice. They don't have to worry about whether or not certain people are getting taken care of in society.
And it means it's not a cruel and unfeeling universe.
Sure.
There's a plan.
I guess that's the one way to look at it. But you see, so even though I think...
Watch 3 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri, and you will no longer feel this way.
I think that one of the reasons people aren't ever going to understand the stuff we've been talking about in regard to evolution is because they like the wrong idea, because it fits so well with this idea inside that they want to believe.
And I should say, when we say people, we just mean the stupid people.
Well, yeah.
We know that we're not the only 2 people who get evolution.
No, that's right. That's right.
There's just a shit ton of people who don't.
Well, but again, I'm not so sure that they don't. I think they won't, because...
Well...
It doesn't fit into their larger worldview.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, as usual, they have cherry-picked the aspects of it that fit their argument.
Yeah.
If we evolved from... That's the one I hate. I'm like, everyone stop saying we evolved from apes. Stop saying that. Didn't happen. No. Then how come they're still apes? I will murder you. Shut up. What are the apes evolving into something? Seriously, I will kill your entire family, and that even that won't really have any produce any evolutionary pressure. Shut up. Unfortunately, we got too into this. We are over time already.
Oh no!
This is another questionless one, so you're gonna have to hate on us. Sorry, oh shit! And I had other stuff I was gonna talk about too, books and things.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. That's okay. Fine. We'll do it another time. It's not. There's not a timeline on it. I finished the book series I was reading. I really like it, and I've been emailing people about it. I didn't email you because you don't read fiction, but I emailed your wife. And Jazz and I and some other people have been coming up with really cool suggestions for reading and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, if you'd like to tell us what you know about evolution, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Educate us.
Also, write in
by all means
to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with any questions you have or whatever. Like, how come sometimes farts smell like broccoli even if you haven't eaten broccoli in like weeks?
Farts sometimes smell like broccoli?
They do sometimes smell like broccoli.
Okay.
They're broccoli farts. But okay. Sometimes you haven't eaten broccoli in a long time, so why is that? Anyway, if you'd like to know that, write the question in and do that.
Otherwise, don't write the question in.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
No.
This is great. Could be worse. Could be Charlie Sheen. Why does Charlie Sheen sometimes smell like broccoli? Mm.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.